morning, Power Hour Nation. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You are in the right place. It's so good to be with you. I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman. If you've just now joined us, very nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us. We have a great broadcast today. John Barber will be joining us, I believe, in about a half hour. He's written a book called Your Mother's Not a Virgin, The Bumpy Life and Times of the Canadian Dropout Who Changed the Face of American TV. A lengthy title, for sure, but a very interesting read. It's only about as thick as War and Peace. It's about 700 pages, story after story. Very entertaining. He's a character. We're going to get into his, you know, he knew Sinatra. He was very good friends with Red Fox. We'll get into some of those things. And just a little bit about the life and times of John Barber, his book. And, yeah, interesting things. Loved having him on last time and excited to have him on again. We're going to go over the news before then. Uncle Kevin, welcome to the Power Hour. I shouldn't say welcome back. You're just like a fixture now.
Exactly. Well, thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's good to have
you. War and Peace, that was a long movie, too.
Well, this book here, you can see this book.
I mean,
this thing would choke a gorilla, book.
It's big. Take me 3 years to get through this.
Well, it's pretty entertaining. Like, the stories, they're pretty, you know, it's a fast read.
It's got a flow.
It's got a good flow to it. What, good fourth? You had a good fourth?
Oh, we had a great fourth.
Yeah?
The best part of it was you almost blew your hand off.
Almost. The almost part was good about that. The almost part
right.
of that was the key word.
I don't want to see anybody word. To get hurt.
Yeah, you know, I thought about this afterwards. We were talking, and you know how we always make fun of cheap Chinese crap going to Walmart, whatever. Well, who do you think's making your fireworks?
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a Roman candle in my hand that
misfired.
It didn't misfire. The thing went backwards and literally. Blew
out the bottom where he was holding it.
If my hand was 2 inches up, I mean, I'd be wrapped in a, you know, who
fingers
knows?
Would be off.
Maybe.
You'd be sewing them back on.
It freaked me out because I had it in my hand and I felt the concussion, mm-hmm. you know, the force of it.
Yeah.
Wow. It was freaky. The safest fireworks, ladies and gentlemen, are the big ones. You just light the fuse and run the other way.
Yeah, make sure you run.
Just by far.
Take your head off.
By far, anyway. Other than that, ate a lot of hot dogs, ate some of those all beef hot dogs from Walmart. That's another, you know, you want a good news story?
That's great news.
There's more and more organic at Walmart every day. There's more and more all beef, you know, things like that mm-hmm. at Walmart every day.
A lot of products take out high fructose corn syrup, too.
You see that cane sugar more and more?
Yes.
You're seeing...
Very good. Very, very good.
So...
Progress.
What is progress? We're voting with our dollars. Mm-hmm. Always vote with your dollars. Yep. And support us at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com and thepowerhour.com are our two websites. So thank you very much for being here. Let's get to some news stories. Did you see Trump said he wants to drain the swamp in Washington?
Yeah.
Right? Well, did you see what happened this morning with the floods there? It's not. No. He needs to literally drain Washington this morning.
What? No, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, there's crazy pictures of cars stopped on the street. The water came so fast, literally people are on top of their cars with cell phones, you know,
where'd
calling for help.
I mean, like rain?
Rains and floods and stuff.
Oh my gosh! No, I didn't hear that.
Flash floods and
things. Usually sleeping in the morning.
Literally, people are on top of their cars with their cell phones calling for help. The railway system there, it's causing a lot of leaks.
Well, maybe he'll stop the spraying of us in the microwave in the atmosphere.
You talking about chemtrails? What are you talking about?
Yeah, chemtrails.
I'm confused.
Chemtrails.
Because of this.
Yeah.
Well, so certain places of the world are not getting water. I guess Washington, D.C. is getting it all this morning.
That's right.
Anyway, getting to, oh, I guess we should talk about California. I mean, these are big, usually these kind of stories are not first and foremost on the news, but California, we talked about this last week. We said there may be a big one on the way, and a big one came right after that, yes. About 100 miles north of LA, I think it was, mm-hmm. 150 miles north
of
LA.
They were lucky it didn't hit the city.
Ridgecrest, part of Ridgecrest, California, mm-hmm. I think. Did damage, nothing like it would have been on LA.
No,
I mean, obviously.
LA would have been a mess.
7.1 earthquake. They're predicting, like, they weren't able to predict these to begin with, but anyway, whoever they are predicting that there's a a high possibility of another massive earthquake coming, seven or more, or more.
That's what I heard, and it's going to be could erupt Yellowstone. They were talking about too.
Well, did you see? It's not Old Faithful. Old Faithful is Old Faithful,
right?
But there's another. The largest geyser in the world, the largest continual geyser in the world, is in Yellowstone. I can't remember what it's called. But it's had more activity in the last couple of years than any 2 years almost in record that's been recorded on it.
And it's at the highest it's ever been as of 2 days ago.
As far as shooting up,
in the air. Yep. And if that Yellowstone goes, it could possibly destroy from the Pacific to the Mississippi.
Well, we're not even going to go there. What they need to do is listen to James McKinney and drain that reservoir, pond, lake, whatever you want to call it there. Mm-hmm. Lake's a strong word, but it's big enough to cause a
steam.
I guess it's
bubble.
A small lake. Yeah. They need to drain that or else there could be some super, super problems there.
Yeah. Like steam was the thing that blew off the top of that Fukushima.
I thought it was deteriorating nuclear rods.
No, it was steam.
It was the steam that burst it.
It was the steam that burst it.
From the heat from the rods.
Right.
I gotcha. Well, let's get into some more news stories, and we'll continue on before John comes on. U.S. pressures Germany to send ground troops to Syria to, quote, partially replace American forces. So it's one thing for our boys to risk their life, and women, our men and women to risk their lives over there. Now we're going to replace them. Let's let the Germans risk their lives for a minute. I guess that's what they're doing there.
They might be happy to. They like to scrap that.
In a related call, Germany has turned down a request from Washington to deploy ground forces to Syria. No, not so much. No, thank you. You guys are doing a very good job. You guys can police the world. We don't want any part of it.
That's good.
Very good.
We don't like that policing anyway.
UAE reducing troops in war-torn Yemen shifts to, quote, peace first strategy. Well, that's great. Peace first. That's a great strategy.
Talk is always good.
Peace first is the strategy it should be. It should not be.
That's what our cops should be on. Life first.
Life first, peace first.
Life first.
That's right.
That's where how our cops should be treated.
Well, they are. In their minds, they are because they think they're defending their lives. So their life first.
Yeah, their lives matter. Their lives
first. I know it wasn't supposed to be funny, but that's true. It should not be peace at any cost. That should not be our foreign policy. But peace first should definitely be our policy. School bosses forcing Islamic indoctrination. There are more and more stories like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I could spend the whole news and read stories just like this, so I just give you a smattering of it. Top teachers effectively are forcing Islamic indoctrination on students in Britain. In Britain, with a growing movement to strip parents of their legal right to remove their children from objectionable religious classes. This is a continuing trend, ladies and gentlemen. This is not good.
Know what your teachers are teaching your kids.
Yeah, know what you teach them. That's the best. That's ideal. Ideal is, I know everybody can't do, ideal is homeschool. We pray for and work for the ideal. I went back and forth with Charlotte Iserby. I was emailing Charlotte this morning. It just occurred to me, she was sending some of her, you know, she always sends these emails with documents and attachments of different things. And I was just so blown away reading this. I was just so engrossed. It was a transcript of her telling her story. And what a hero she is.
Yeah, she's great. Awesome.
And if you ever, Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, Charlotte Iserby interview she's done on this show, many other shows, Wrench Show. You want to know about school and what school is, listen to it. I mean, don't believe me. Listen to Charlotte, who was there. She was in a very high position in the Department of Education. And how she even got there is that's a miracle in and of itself. Her life, what she has done, you talk about miracles, a miracle. So check that out if you have any question about school. And I say this over and over again because it is the bane of our existence. If you said, you know, other than, moral and religious and esoteric things that are hard to quantify, if you're going to say one thing to pinpoint in America, what is the problem with America? I would say without hesitation,
schools,
period, school,
period, exclamation point.
This is another story. We're going to skip this. Another story about Sharia in the UK, even worse, Sharia law. Iran passes new nuclear deal limit as China blames U.S. for the crisis. I, I guess we're the blame that for Iran making nuclear bombs. They've passed that mark set in 2015, and China's now blaming America. Well, okay. All right. Well, then China, you get involved and do something about it. If you're so concerned about it. Conservatives win Greek election with promise to revive economy, unseating leftist Syriza. Greece. When I visited Greece, what a depressed. Depressed is the best word. Well, you'd be hard pressed. You literally, for real, you'd be hard pressed to find a country with more natural beauty. You know, it's beach. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like beach and those kind of things and water and that, and if you like that, you would be hard pressed to find. Maybe not diversity, but if you want that, you'd be hard pressed in the world to find another place of such natural beauty. And the resources and the growing, and there's certainly some advantages there that this is what socialism does.
Yeah, it's hard to be happy when you're taxed to death.
Well, it's not only that, the ingenuity, the creativity, the production is eaten up by this cancer, and the cancer is the government.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Guaido agrees to new round of talks with Maduro, but only to, quote, end the dictatorship. So we'll see where that goes. Huge story. Zero Hedge, it's everywhere, really. Jeffrey Epstein has been arrested for sex trafficking of minors.
Yeah, Trump's taken off the gloves. It's awesome.
Of course, he got a slap on the wrist, I don't know, 10 years ago now? Didn't even get arrested.
Well, the cool thing about it, they didn't even warn him because they didn't want him to run. So they arrested him first and then served him.
That says a lot. I'm really surprised with his connections and his, you know, that says a lot.
That's huge.
You have a story from, Pelosi's daughter or Nancy Pelosi's daughter, I think.
Oh, yeah, here. Christina Pelosi warns it's quite likely that some of our faves are implicated in the horrible Epstein case.
How would she know?
Yeah, how would she know?
How would she know?
Yeah.
This is radioactive.
Another huge story.
This is a radioactive story. And how deep does it go?
Somebody that powerful talking about it? That some of the people might be going down? No, they're going down.
This is, if you want some reasons to cheer for Trump, you know, if you're looking for top five or six reasons, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, the amount of pedophile trafficking arrests that have happened under him or under his administration has been so magnified, and the noose has been tightened to such a degree, and they are resisting. You know, a lot of things that Trump tells his people to do, they're not doing.
Or the judges let him off, the district attorney lets him off, or whatever. Yeah, it's been a struggle.
So a lot of these things we wish Trump would do this, that, and other. Some things he's told them
to do.
He's done everything except go down there and point a gun to their head and make them do it.
Yeah.
literally.
You tell something to do it, you expect it done. You know, 6 weeks later he comes back, it's not done. But, you know, what do you do? You can't fire the people.
Well, that's
in the government.
Well, that's what he's there for, isn't it? Drain the swamp.
Yeah,
but I'm not giving him a pass on everything, but some things there is some.
No, this is great news.
This is fantastic news.
Fantastic news.
This is such a fantastic thing for him. And my hat's off to you, Donald Trump, for this, for your part, whatever small part you're playing or big part. I think it's not small.
All those pedophiles are probably shaking in their boots after they found out Epstein was arrested.
Health Impact News asked the question, will global pedophile network finally be uncovered in the Jeffrey Epstein case? Did you see who's prosecuting him in this case?
No. Who is it?
This makes me nervous more than anything. James Comey's daughter.
Oh, jeez.
So you don't think that they're going to,
could be. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. He's in jail. That's all I know, and he's not on bail, so he can't run.
Again, more source: Southern District of New York Criminal Division and the FBI Violent Crimes Against Children International Task Force has been basically their hands off. There's a lot of stories about that in the news. ThePowerHour.com. You can go to the news and look at this, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested. Why is MSM mainstream media? It's not mainstream, ladies and gentlemen. It's not mainstream media. It is corporate, agendized, lamestream, whatever, bought off media, criminal media.
Criminal media.
What, it asked the question, this article, why is MSN ignoring Trump's sex trafficking bust? Well, you tell me.
Because they're told to.
Yeah, you, it's not hard, is it?
Yeah.
This is a major story.
Yeah, you don't go, but you don't go near that story.
This is a major story. Unless
huge
you want,
story.
Unless you're told to.
Yeah.
By somebody, whoever they are, right? There's that they. I don't like to use they.
And, that ring is also trafficking in it and trafficking in children's organs, too. That's how disgusting and how big this story is.
DOJ abruptly replaces lawyers defending Trump's censure citizen question. All the lawyers that were involved with getting that citizenship question on the thing have all been replaced.
Yeah.
And Trump's going to
He's going for it. This is ridiculous.
Trump, immigration official says, quote, feds plan to deport 1 million illegal. Now we've heard this. Mm-hmm. And supposedly it was going to start. Supposedly, well, he's going to give him a couple weeks.
Judge, remember, stopped it. One of the judges, and I think that's over with.
New York activists file formal complaint with police demanding Hillary Clinton's arrest.
Oh,
well, this is interesting stuff. Let me just read the story. Activists from Equal Justice Tour, a religious political action group, petitioned to have Hillary Clinton be held accountable for her alleged wrongdoing at the Clinton Foundation, Benghazi, Haiti, email destruction, and Uranium One. This is not nothing. When people, this clamoring, the drumbeat for this by people is getting bigger in some circles.
At some point, they're going to throw her over. They have to. They want their career.
A bird strike caused an Air Force plane to accidentally drop 3 training bombs on Florida.
Were they live or just dummies?
I don't know.
Probably nukes.
Thankfully, they were just dummies. So it's hard. Women, okay, here's in the, bizarro world section of the news today. These are important stories because this is what's going on in other countries. This is why we tirelessly say these things and go over this with you. Your heritage, your beliefs, events do not change the course of a country's direction, their history. Events do not change them. Events are a result of ideas. That's what Herbert Hoover, I think I said Harding. Last week. It's Herbert Hoover who said that, and then Winston Churchill said something very similar. It's ideas that shape the nation, not events. The ideas of a nation actually lead to the events which then shape the ideas. This is very stark. This should heighten you, ladies and gentlemen, and to harden you and to be ready to defend this position, to hold this line even more. Woman loses job for, quote, teaching while conservative. This is not in Britain. This is not in Canada. This is in America. It happened to Dr. Karen Sigmund, president of American Freedom Alliance, who was booted from her math teaching position in Los Angeles. It's a private school. This is a private school, not even a public school. The school explained her firing. One of your speeches as leader of the American Freedom Alliance states, quote, each of us here believes in the unparalleled force for good that is Western civilization. That is our heritage, whether we were born here or not. That's what she said. That's what the school quoted as the reason to fire her.
She's going to get a lot of money from that lawsuit she's going to file.
Well, it's a private school.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, I don't think, what's the reason that they're stating? I mean, that she says that our heritage, our Western civilization heritage, has been an unparalleled force for good. So she believes that, so she gets fired, she can't teach. What does it tell you about school? What does it tell you about, I was going over Charlotte Isherby, the links to the treaties between Russia, the treaties with China, the school, all these things are interconnected. How they took, Pavlov's dog, Pavlov's training, which is William Vunt from the mid 1800s. Mm-hmm. And they trained, they were trying to change people's values, and they're studying how can we change people's values? This was their study.
Yeah.
And they realized that lecturing people does little.
Right.
Does little. So that's where Pavlov came in and Wundt came in, that they were learned to, by stimulus, by a knee-jerk reaction, they were able to overcome your conscious to get you to react to certain things. So now when you hear race card, when you hear certain words, we've been so trained, we react like that. It goes against good sense, common sense, and against our conscious, against our goodwill. This has been deliberate. This is what school systems are. And anything you can do, look, if you, anything, any way we can help you, you want us to get people on here talk about homeschool, if you can press a button on the DVD and press play.
It's easy. It's not hard.
Yes. If you can have the time, and I know that's difficult sometimes, that part can be difficult. Do your best, ladies and gentlemen. This is important. This is so important. San Francisco to paint over historic George Washington mural. Did you hear about this story?
I heard about that story.
This is a new era, or New Deal era, New Deal era, FDR
did it, yeah.
era mural by a very famous muralist at the time, Victor, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Victor Arnautov. And it's a very direct mural. It's 83-year-old mural. It shows him talking to Indians, fighting with Indians, talking to slaves, you know, just very real, of course, revolutionary thing. Just very, it's an awesome mural. It's part of history.
It's part of history.
Not only is it part of George Washington, yeah, it's part of the New Deal era art. So San Francisco thinks that they need to paint over it.
They need to clean up their sidewalks instead of painting over a national treasure.
To go along with this, festival charges double ticket price for non-people of color. So if you're white, you get charged double to a music and arts festival in Detroit.
Well, there's another lawsuit.
I don't know. Some great health stories. Let me quickly try. I always forget these because we're running out of time. Big Pharma hikes drug price. Trump was supposed to lower drug price. It shows you how much power he has over that. Amazon workers are planning a strike for one of its busiest shopping prime days. Deutsche Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big story. Deutsche Bank, is it going under? And what are the repercussions of that? Pay attention to that. California governor declares state of emergency after second earthquake. All 21 of Mississippi beaches closed due to toxic algae.
Yep. It's the runoff from all that flood.
Hailstones the size of tennis balls in south central France. Wow. There's a couple health stories. I'm sorry I missed these stories, ladies and gentlemen. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak said most people should get off Facebook. Steve Wozniak said that. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe I'll get a couple health stories before John comes on. John Barber on the other side. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rinse.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rinse.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 311, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Last April, I believe it was, about two, three months ago, John came on for the first time to our broadcast. And it was really fun talking to him. He has a lot of experience in the entertainment industry, knows a lot of people, what have you. His book, Your Mother's Not a Virgin. I read the whole thing. Let me see if I can get this out. His new book, Your Mother's Not a Virgin, The Bumpy Life and Times of the Canadian Dropout Who Changed the Face of American TV. Does it sound compelling? Well, it is. The book's about as thick as can choke a gorilla, this thing. But it's very quick. It's very fun. Story after story. And as you see, listen to him. It's just a lot of fun. JohnBarbersWorld.com is his website. Very excited to talk to him among a variety of subjects. John, welcome back to the Power Hour.
About our documentaries, the American media and the second assassination of President John Kennedy and the Garrison tapes. A lot of people went to my site where they could see the Garrison tapes for nothing. And then they went to Amazon and paid $2 to see the absolute definitive film. So I'm delighted to be back. I hope you can do the same for the book. And I love the fact that you mentioned it's a very long book. The best book I ever read about anybody in show business was A Child of the Century by Ben Hecht. Do you know who Ben Hecht is?
No. No.
Ben Hecht was the highest paid screenwriter in America. He invented the gangster movie with Scarface. He wrote Gone with the Wind in 12 days and never read the book. Ben Hecht was born in Racine, Wisconsin. Sort of a reluctant Jew. He didn't know he was Jewish until the Second World War started. And at 16, like me, he ran away from home, but he wanted to get into the circus. And he ended up in the newspaper business, became Chicago's greatest columnist, moved to New York, became New York's greatest columnist, met Charles MacArthur and wrote The Front Page, a very famous play, which was turned into a movie a couple of times. And then he became the first propagandist for the non-existent state of Israel. His book is about 700 pages long. Well, I was working in the mailroom at Paramount at the time. I was in the country illegally. I was deported twice, by the way, which we might get into. But in any event, I accidentally picked up the book and I started to read it. And I loved the first sentence because he said, I've always wanted to write a book about myself. And who hasn't? Well, it was so compelling. I must tell you, it's the only fan letter I ever wrote in my life. I was 19 years of age, got a pencil and a piece of paper, wrote it to his publisher, and I said, I'm so sorry I ever picked up this book accidentally to read it. Because henceforth, unless something pops up from Mark Twain, it will absolutely destroy anything I ever read in the future. And a week and a half later, I got a long handwritten note from Ben Hecht. And he said, John, I'm on my way to Laguna Beach to produce a play. And if you could get a week off, I'd love you to be my assistant. So I took a week off, went down and was Ben Hecht's assistant for a week based on the only fan letter I ever wrote. Anyway, he has no chapter in his book. His book is written like a series of columns. And as you know, that's how my book is written. And the fact that you mentioned it's so heavy. I got the sweetest note from a lady 3 days ago. She is Iranian, and English is her second language, and she bought it at Barnes & Noble. She sent me a note and said, listen, I'm a slow reader. It's going to take me months to read this long book. 10 days later, I got this note that said, I could not put it down, but I got carpal tunnel syndrome from holding it. So there you go.
Well, there's no question it's a quick read. It engrosses you and starts to enthrall you one story after another. And as you can tell, John's a great storyteller. I mean, just listening to him here, the book is no different. Fantastic book. Check it out, johnbarbersworld.com. Why don't you give a little background of yourself? It's been a while since you've been on. I mean, not the whole thing, just a Reader's Digest version so people get a little taste of you. I know they probably, most of our audience remembers real people. They can give a background on that. So who is John Barber in a nutshell?
Okay, I'll give you the Donald Trump tweet version, okay?
There you go.
I came from a severely dysfunctional family in Toronto. I was born in the Salvation Army charity ward, an unwanted child, and I didn't know how unwanted I was until I was born. I didn't even know I had a mother until I was six. And the reason I didn't know that is because the only influence on my life for a while was my father. For some reason or other, he took great pride in teaching me to count from 1 to 100 when I was 2.5 or 3, and the alphabet from A to Z, so that when I got to kindergarten, when I was 4 years old, he made me stand up and tell everybody, including the other student, count from 1 to 100 and do the alphabet. So I skipped kindergarten, and thereafter I skipped a number of grades, but not because I was intelligent, but because I was truant. Because when I was six, my father left our house to go to the peace and quiet of fighting Germans in World War II. And my mother, that's when I realized I had a mother, and uncles appeared in my house like grapes. They came in bunches, you know, and they came to either sleep with my mother, or most of them beat my mother, or drink with my mother, or take her away. So from the time I was six, I was left mostly on the streets. And I became, of course, a juvenile delinquent. I was arrested a couple of times when I was 12 and 13. And then I was arrested again seriously when I was 16, convicted of two felonies that played a great role in keeping me out of the United States. Well, between the ages of 14 and 16, I became an addicted gambler, and everything I could earn or steal, which I did often, I lost. And I realized after about 2 years, I wasn't there to try to make money. I was trying to make friends. I had no friends. And then I realized, well, who wants to be friends with gamblers? Who wants to be friends with people like me? And so I decided, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'll do it right. Now, for some reason, if I read a book, it stays in my head. So I got two books. One was Scarnian Dice and Scarnian Cards. And I became an expert. And in less than 3 weeks from older people, I won $700. And what I did with the $700 is I bought myself a beautiful, expensive blue suit. And if you see the cover of my book, you'll see me. It's a black and white picture of me in this expensive blue suit standing in front of Bugsy Siegel's old Flamingo Hotel, and I'm wearing a Stetson. And the reason I put on the Stetson, I wanted people to think I had cattle and that I was old enough to gamble. And I came illegally to the United States with nothing except that suit and that hat, got on a train and headed for Las Vegas. I was 17. Now, get this. In northern Nevada, I'm going to tell you something. All of the magnificent things that have happened to me, from getting real people on the air, the greatest, the most popular show in the history of American television. We used to get a 50 share, meaning half of the people who watched that show. And the third year that I was on the show, we were getting 20,000 pieces of mail. I mean, it was a phenomenal show, from becoming Sinatra's private writer to becoming the Boswell to Jim Garrison. All of these things happened by accident, but all the disasters were well planned. In any event, I'm on the train, and there's an accident in northern Nevada. And I think the immigration services, and the train stops, and I think the immigration service has called ahead to stop the train because this illegal alien is on the train. So I hop off in northern Nevada. And the only place I can get to by bus is called Lake Tahoe. So I get on the bus to Lake Tahoe, and it stops in front of the Calne Village. Now, I must tell you, Lake Tahoe was just stunningly beautiful. It looked like a smaller version of Canada's Banff National Park. So here I am in front of the Calneva Lodge, and I walk in, and it's like walking onto a set of an MGM musical. I'm waiting for Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland to hop out. All these beautiful people, beautifully dressed, some at the bar, most of them around the crap tables. So after absorbing this, I decided to go to the crap table, and I was very nervous because I thought, well, I'm only 16 and I shouldn't, it's illegal, but I look older, so maybe they won't notice, and I'm doing okay. I'm not a heavy better, but I'm doing it okay. And after a while, people start looking at me or looking toward me. Now I'm getting very nervous and I start to cut back a bit. I don't know whether to quit or not. And soon the dealers stop, and then the people at the bar stop and they're staring. But they're not staring at me. They're staring past me. So I look around behind me, and walking through the doors is Frank Sinatra with his overcoat draped over his shoulder like an Italian Superman. And he's arm in arm with Sam Giancana, the mafioso chief of Chicago, whom I just read about on the front page the newspaper on the train, and they're front flanked by three Italian Praetorian guards. Now, the amazing thing is,
hey, John, let me interject right there. What year was this about?
Okay, I was not at 17, so it would have been 1950.
Okay.
And yes, 1950. A week before this, I was in the Manor Theater in Toronto, where I paid a nickel to see Till the Clouds Roll By. It's a movie about Jerome Kern. And Jerome Kern wrote the lyrics to Showboat. And in the movie, there is Frank Sinatra. You've seen it, I know, a million times, on a white pedestal in a white tuxedo, singing Old Man River. Now, that's a week earlier, and now he's walking right past me. And little would I know that 25 years later, I would become his private writer. And I'd be happy to tell you the story of how that happened. So in any event, I stayed there for one day. I went to Las Vegas, and I could only gamble a couple of hours a day. And my game was blackjack, single deck blackjack, and I was making a living. And I had no place to go. There weren't many movie theaters, so I would go to the shows. And I saw Edith Piaf at the Sahara. I saw Noel Coward singing Mad Dogs and Englishmen at the Desert Inn, and Joey Lewis and Lily St. Cyr at El Rancho, and that's what I loved. All of a sudden, I didn't love gambling. And you know the reason I stopped gambling on the spot at the table was because I was no longer emotionally involved with the game. I was a mathematician. I was a scientist. I was distracted from what I was doing. I quit gambling that instant, cashed in my chips, have never gambled since, except on a golf course, because playing golf for fun is no fun. And I got on a train and went to Hollywood, because at the end of all these movies I saw, it said Made in Hollywood, and I loved the shows that I saw, and I wanted to be where show business originated, was Hollywood. So that's how I ended up in Hollywood.
Are you telling me that's the Donald Trump tweet version?
That's funny. That is very well. I try to, you know, I try to keep it in short sentences for you.
So it's fantastic. Okay, let's. You're in Hollywood. This is the 50s. Sometime in the 50s. Let's bounce around a little bit. I know last time I talked to you, you told me that I loved Sanford and Son when I was young, and my father and I would watch that. We used to love Lamont and Ann Esther and the Grady and all, you know, Julio next door, whatever. And you knew you were good friends with Red Fox. Why don't we talk about that a little? How did you get to know Red and talk about that relationship?
Well, I decided it when the reason I fell in love with television was Jack Parr. You remember Jack Parr?
Yeah. Yeah. The Tonight Show, right?
That's right. He was by far the greatest host of the Tonight Show. And I fell in love with Jack Parr primarily because when I watched the show in black and white, he had these wonderful conversations with people. He introduced Gorby Dahl and William F. Buckley and Nicholson May and the Smothers Brothers, and he made Jonathan Winters, but he had these great conversations. Well, I did not know that people ever had conversations. I thought they either punched one another or they yelled at one another. And Jack Parr opened his show with the best monologues ever, even better than Johnny Carson. I mean, when he had John Kennedy on, I remember one of his opening lines. He says, "I never vote because it only encourages them." I mean, what a wonderful thing to say when John Kennedy is coming on the show. So I decided I was going to become a comic. Now, I never thought anything was difficult at all, because I had nothing. I thought you just do it. Well, I got every comedy album I could. I got every joke book I could, and I loved the albums. And the albums showed that each comic was extremely distinctive. And Red Fox, of course, was filthy. He did these party records, and then I got the joke books. Well, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to write five minutes of jokes and go to clubs and break it in. But the jokes were dreadful, and the jokes that were good, everybody knew. So I decided I was going to write my own. And I remember this is in the early 60s. And the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement is very, very big. And I remember my opening line that I wrote. I said, "My name is John Barber, and I'm being brought to you by the NAACP. And people would giggle. And then I would say, "It's the National Association for the Advancement of Canadian People." And then I could go on, and I would compare the two different societies. And I became successful. My second professional job was the Hungry Eye. And the Hungry Eye was the best nightclub in America. That's a place that spawned Mort Saul. And I met my wife there. Her name was Sarita. She was a professional dancer and a band singer. And she told me that I should meet Red Fox, because she was friends with Red Fox and Dick Gregory, because the band that she sang for was Earl Hines. And Earl Hines had discovered Sarah Vaughan and Billy Eckstein, so she knew all these black performers, even though she was Hispanic. And so Red and I became my mentor. And when I eventually got my first show, I put Red Fox on. I was the first person to put Red Fox on the air. Now, I'm going to tell you very quickly how I got the show?
Please do. Go ahead. I'm enthralled. You've hooked me in. You can tell me anything, John. Go ahead.
You remember Merv Griffin? He had that great show on Westinghouse.
Of course.
Okay, I became a regular on Merv's show. And a couple of times, Merv tried to get me a talk show on ABC. I was beat out once by Dick Cabot. And Merv was going to produce the show. So when he left Westinghouse, he recommended me as his replacement. And Westinghouse put me under contract for 13 weeks. I was unemployed, but put me under contract for 13 weeks at $600 a week. And they had me substitute for him. Well, of course, I did a stand-up like Parr did, and my ratings were every bit as good as Merv's at his best. And so what they did is they decided, Westinghouse decided they wanted to get David Frost. And the reason they wanted David Frost is that they could go to England, and they could go to Den Downing Street, or they could go to Buckingham Palace. So I stormed into their offices one day, and I said, you can't have an Englishman hosting an American show with all that's going on in this country. You're going to have English people as guests to talk about what's going on. You have to have an American. And I suggested they do Gone with the Wind in their search for Scarlett O'Hara. I said, get four other guys, myself and four other guys, and give us each one night and hold a contest to see who's going to fill in for Merv Griffin. But they turned me down and they threw me out of the office, and they used my ratings to get David Frost. Now, when David Frost signed, I got a call from a guy named Chuck Young. Chuck Young was the president of Metromedia. Do you ever hear of a guy named Joe Pine?
It sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not completely.
Joe Pine was the very first angry man on television and a monster hit. You Google him and you will see what a monster hit he was. Anyway, Chuck Young put him on the air when nobody else would put him on the air. So he called me and he said, I think they made a mistake with the Limey. Would you do me a favor and come here and do a Saturday night poor man's Johnny Carson show? And I said, indeed, I would. So I'm leading up to the Red Fox story, but I'm going to put you on pause for just a second, because this is an absolutely wonderful story. Have you ever heard of Harlan Ellison?
Yes. Yes, that sounds familiar.
Harlan Ellison, next to Ray Bradbury and Nabokov, the best science fiction writer in America, even though he would kill you if you called him a science fiction writer, because he was a great writer. He wrote the best Star Trek episodes. He wrote a bunch of stuff. Well, anyway, at one point, he wrote a short story. The Terminator. And Paramount stole that story and made it into a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So Harlan was going to sue. Now, his agency, the William Morris Agency, and his publicist and his wife said, don't sue. Paramount said, don't sue because you'll never work again. Well, he sued. And he won the case, and he took out a huge billboard on Sunset Boulevard that said, I beat the bastards. And he never worked more in his life because Hollywood loves winners. But anyway, at the time I did the Griffin show, he was the best television critic in America, a newspaper called the L.A. Free Press. And the title of his column was called about sucking on television. That's how we're nervous. Anyway, he hammered me when he saw me hosting that night for Merv, and he called me a fruit. He called me gay. He really insulted me, but it was brilliantly written and really funny. So anyway, when I end up getting this show, I tell my co-producer, a fellow named Bill Walker, I said, you know what? Television is America's umbilical cord. It's going to become the most important thing in the world. And I would love to have somebody on to talk about television. And he said, who would that be? And I said, well, any person I can think of is Harlan Ellison. He said, are you nuts? I said, no, because if he can talk as well as he writes, he'll be really interesting. So he said, I'm not calling him. So I called him. The phone rang once and a voice said, yeah. I mean, that's how he always spoke. He spoke like he was angry. And I said, this is John Barber. And he said, "Holy crap." And I said, "Well, you already said that in print." So I said to him, "Hey, Harlan, can you talk as well as you write?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I just got a television show, and I want to have somebody on who can talk about television. Would you come on if you can talk?" He said, "I can talk." He said, "But I don't want to mention your review again." I said, "You don't have to. You can talk about anything you wish." Anyway, he came on the show. Everybody in town knew that Harlan had hated me. He was going to be on the, everybody watched. So the show did gangbusters and off and running. So anyway, Monday, I get a call from Chuck Young and he's laughing. He said, "I just, congratulations on the great ratings." He said, "I think I got a winner here when the Englishman flops for Westinghouse." And I said, "Thank you very much." And he said, "I just finished talking to Harlan Ellison." I said, "That's great. Are you going to give him a show?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Why not? The guy's brilliant." He said, "John, he wanted your show. He thinks you're lousy." So now, at the show.
Hold on, John. John, hold on. Let's stop right there. That's a good point. There's the music. On the other side, just more with this just enchanting man, John Barber. The book is Your Mother's Not a Virgin, johnbarbersworld.com. Check it out. More on the other side. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerHour.com. ThePowerHour.com.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com.